Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're training a spotlight on a new study by UBS Wealth Management entitled Taking Action: How Women Can Best Protect and Grow Their Wealth. The gender gap can be widened by investment decisions and behaviours, as well as by income disparity, pay disparity, flexible working and longevity. This report sets out the reasons behind this and addresses some of the longer-term requirements to address these outcomes. The findings are a key reason why UBS Wealth Management has launched UBS Unique, a five-year plan to significantly scale its expertise in serving female clients. Let's start with Mara Harvey, head of UBS Unique, about which we'll hear more shortly, and head of global ultra-high net worth for Germany, Austria and Italy. Mara began by explaining the background to the Taking Action report. Here's Mara, and putting the questions this week is Monocle's Henry Rees-Sheridan.
4 or 5 months ago now, having worked on this initiative for several years, collating research, understanding all the dynamics in the market, I asked myself a very simple question. Has anybody ever done the math on how big the wealth gap is between men and women? If we factor in all the elements that are shown in this paper that we know affect a woman's wealth journey. And the reality was we couldn't find a single piece of research that added it all up, so we commissioned our chief investment office to look at this. And we asked them, could you model it? Could you take those five dimensions from gender pay gap to cost of flexibility, cost of discontinuity, longevity, add it all up and tell us how does that affect women's wealth, and then add the risk profile dimension, because all the research and all of our internal data points towards the fact that indeed women are investing with a lower appetite. Being an econometrist as a background, I like numbers and I like to see, you know, long-term impact, not just short-term impact. And I said, you know, those couple of percentage points difference on the yields female investors are making with a low return profile or a low risk profile, how much does that add up to? Because if you compound a couple of percentage points interest over 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, that's where you see massive divergences on wealth. So for a woman to have or not have a really good savings and investment strategy makes a massive difference on a lifestyle.
Let's look in more detail at the gender gaps. Svetlana Gerzi is a behavioural finance specialist at the UBS Wealth Management Chief Investment Office. Svetlana.
The gender gap results from a number of different things. So first of all, men tend to work on average more years than women do. So men tend to work somewhere around 38 years over their lifetime, while women work only 29 years. Again, because they take time out of the labor market due to child care responsibilities and taking care of the elderly as well. They also live longer, so there is a longevity risk issue in place. On average, women tend to live around 81 years, and for men, it's around 76 years. And again, the pay gap as well. So even though women are accumulating, you know, they're becoming independently wealthy, their salaries are rising faster than of men's, they're saving at higher rates, they're still, they tend to have jobs that pay less. So all of these issues contribute to the gender gap.
Turning next to Jane Schwartzberg, she's head of strategic client segments at UBS Wealth Management Americas.
The gap in financial confidence comes from women being, on average, less inclined to be meaningfully involved with their financial decisions, and also a gap in really understanding what the implications are of their financial decisions. It really matters because a lack of financial confidence is one of the primary reasons that women continue to be at a significant economic disadvantage to men. So essentially, improved financial confidence is a primary step towards eliminating the financial gender gap.
Svetlana, it would be great to drill down into some of the granular detail of some of the key findings of the report. And I think one of the aspects of the research and modelling that we found particularly interesting was how pay gaps and short career breaks can have a drastic long-term effect on women's finances. Can you explain that to me in a bit more detail?
Absolutely. Well, because if women take more time out of the labour market, they immediately end up saving less cumulatively over the time. So that contributes to, you know, if you think about it, longer time period, it accumulates very fast. And also it tends to happen because women face a lot of risks in other areas of their life, even taking time out of the labor market and taking care of their children and so on. It opens them up to a lot of other risks in other domains of their lives. So they tend to be a little bit more risk-averse when it comes to their investment decisions. So not only do they save less, they also often invest very conservatively. And often it's not just because they feel like they're risk-averse. Even if we take the gender out of the equation, sometimes women don't have that great relationship established with the advisor. So sometimes even women who do have the wealth, they tend to sit more on cash rather than have it invested and have it grow over the long term. And they do have the longer time span on their side, so they don't use it to their advantage often.
It was interesting to read Mark Hafley's suggestion that awareness is the first step in closing the gap between men and women when it comes to investing. Is that correct, do you think?
I think it is. I mean, obviously, from a behavioral standpoint, there is often a disconnect between education and action, right? Changing behavior requires more than just knowing, but definitely being aware of what can be accomplished, being aware of what you can actually do with your wealth, how you can put it to work is definitely a first step to take action. But they also still need guidance in terms of how are you going to implement, how are you going to invest. So you really need to first understand what you're trying to accomplish, really be aware of the problems, the fact that they will inherit twice from their husbands and their parents, and they're accumulating wealth. So awareness of what's happening and what can they achieve with their wealth and what is the missed opportunity is definitely a call to action.
And Jane, finally, it'd be great to hear from you how UBS itself demonstrating its commitment with its in-house initiatives.
There are many important ways UBS is demonstrating its commitment to women and in committing to women, frankly, to society. I would start with how we run the company and how the leadership views its talent. Leadership of our company is incredibly committed to remarkably talented women here at the firm, whether that be in the financial advisory community or whether it's internally. In addition, this paper is a perfect example of the commitment that we have to really understanding what the important issues women face as they are managing their wealth and their lives, and putting our advisors in the best position possible to help them through that. And finally, I would say another example is that we are now, the firm is putting tremendous resources behind an entire business focusing on the needs of our female clients.
And to you, Svetlana Gerzi, again.
Generally, everybody needs to improve their financial literacy, but more specifically are widows and single women who are known to have the least financial knowledge and obviously the least financial well-being, because the less knowledge we have, the less likely we are to start planning, to start saving and acting in our best interest. And the reason is that specifically for women 55 and over, the difference in financial literacy has been attributed to the decision-making dynamics within the household. So, for example, women who are in the long relationship, they accumulate less financial knowledge because there's usually a dominant decision maker who is most likely the husband. So over time, their financial knowledge actually declines. So at the time when they become widows, inherit all the assets and become responsible for the legacy assets, their financial knowledge is actually at a minimal level.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll get more detail about the UBS unique program. Let's get more now on the UBS Unique plan from its head, Mara Harvey.
UBS Unique is our 5-year change plan to better serve women. We've acknowledged that the financial industry has not stepped up to really take seriously women's needs and to truly understand how they want to be served, and we're determined to change that.
So women have told the industry that it doesn't understand their values, needs and their goals. I'm interested, how are these different to female investors' male counterparts?
Out of all the experience I've made over the past few years and all of the research that we've gathered on this topic, we've come to realise that women, first and foremost, view wealth differently to men, and also that women expect a dialogue around wealth to be shaped slightly different than men do. So first and foremost, women look at their wealth in terms of what is the purpose of this money and how do I want to use that wealth to achieve personal goals, family goals, community and societal goals. Whereas very often with male counterparts, the discussions around wealth relatively rapidly go straight into, okay, so how can this be invested and how can I optimize my returns? That might sound like a little bit of a generalization, of course, but tendentially, that is the difference in the nature of the dialogue. So if with a female investor, we jump in the deep end and try to immediately start with a risk profiling of the potential client and on that basis recommend how we could help them structure their wealth and their portfolio, that misses out on an essential part of the dialogue, which is about life goals and the purpose of wealth.
Given that that's the case, how is UBS positioned particularly well to be able to deliver that service for women?
Our overall positioning really is going to be beneficial to female investors for the following reason. We have already been working also for all of our clients, not just for female investors, to position the notions of total wealth and great wealth over the past few years. So we no longer look at wealth management just as how do we manage liquid assets. We look at wealth management across all dimensions of wealth creation, from business into wealth preservation through liquid investments and further growing wealth through liquid investments, into passion fields and the aspects of legacy. So those are the four pillars: business, investments, passion, and legacy, that constitute four, call it very wealthy families, the pillars of great wealth, but even for lower wealth brackets, the four essential components of what matters to people when it comes to managing their fortunes and their family legacies.
And the last word this week to Mara Harvey, head of UBS Unique.
I think overall there's a very strong awareness now for the fact that, yes, a different approach is needed to take into account women's needs. A couple of years ago, research from Boston Consulting showed that only 2% of wealth managers even thought that a separate approach would be needed. I'm pretty confident that if you did that same questionnaire to all the financial industry today, you'd probably get a very different response. The need is there and it is acknowledged. What is important on our side is the following. The findings that we've highlighted in our Taking Action paper are not something that UBS alone can solve. And actually, you could argue that we are in the privileged position of serving worldwide the clients for whom this problem is the smallest. Because if you have significant wealth, a good investment strategy will certainly allow you for a good lifestyle. If you have lower brackets of wealth, then it becomes absolutely critical that you have an appropriate investment strategy. Now, having said that, outside of Switzerland, we are not a retail bank. So by definition, we serve the higher wealth brackets. We do believe, however, that these findings should spark industry debate and that there is room for a lot of players in this space to say we have a very, very strong role to play as well to better serve women. I really do believe that daily investment decisions are the single most untapped source of social change. And I think that if we can get 50% of the planet much more engaged in these financial decisions, knowing that they care even more strongly about impact. It simply means that we can achieve two things. We can achieve women to be more financially confident for better outcomes in terms of their own life, their families, and the longevity that they will face inevitably. And at the same time, we can hope to see a real acceleration of investments directed towards sustainable and impact investing.
And that's Mara Harvey bringing us to the end of this 161st edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. My thanks to Monocle's Henry Rees-Sheridan, who is putting the questions this week. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.